I want to ask you the question this morning. Does your mind need an upgrade? Does your mind need an upgrade? You know, computers all the time, you know, they come out with a new upgrade for it so that it will do better than it used to do. I know I have a virus protection program on mine, but it seems like just about every week they come out with a new upgrade that I have to add on there to keep protecting my computer from the new viruses that are out there that could make it sick, I guess you could say. So, we need to think about the same kind of thing in terms of our mind. Mentally, do we need an upgrade? One morning, a preacher came into services and he had a Band-Aid on his face. I'm fortunate I'm not in that condition yet this morning. I wasn't that bad off. Probably because I use an electric shaver that has a shield on it, so otherwise I probably would have cut myself. But one of the members asked him, said, "What happened?" Well, he said, "This morning while I was shaving, I was thinking about my sermon and I cut my face." And the member replied, "Preacher, next time why don't you think about your face and cut your sermon?" So we're going to try that this morning. I didn't cut my face, you notice, this morning, so maybe we can cut the sermon a little bit. If my voice holds out, voice is kind of crackly this morning. You realize, of course, that there is a constant battle going on to control our minds. And it's not a battle that's going to be won on a single occasion, never to be fought again. It's a continual battle. You know, we fought a revolutionary war in this country, and they won that war. I say we fought. None of us were alive then, I don't think. But it was fought, and they won that war, and they were no longer under England. They didn't have to fight that war again. There have been several wars that have been fought through the ages by various countries, that once that war was over, it didn't have to be fought again. But the battle that's going on for our minds is not one of those battles. You may win the battle today, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have to get up tomorrow and fight that battle again. And when we understand that, we'll understand just how important it is to keep our minds under control. Our thoughts, our minds, the things that we think with our minds, control our lives. Now, I know things happen to us that we can't control. They happen to everyone. Things that you can't control. I saw a car just recently ran off the road and crashed into a tree, and you know, the airbags, fortunately they had them because that car was a mess. But it looked like they had walked away. I slowed down to look to see if they were still there. The doors were open and they were gone. But they may or may not have been the cause of that accident. But once that car got out of control, there was nothing they could do about it at that point. And it ran off the road and crashed into that tree. And there are always events in our lives that happen that we can't control. We can't control what happens with the stock market. We can't control the weather. We can't control when the sun rises and sets. You can go down the list, and there are hundreds of things that we just can't control. But what we can and must control is the way we think about those things. Good things will happen to us, bad things will happen to us. But how we respond to those things is more important than the things themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the verse that was read, we really want to back up to number 3. Paul says there, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world... Now, we might think, well, the god of the world, that's God. He created the world. But that's not, when the Bible speaks of the god of this world, it's not talking about the God who created this world. It's talking about the God who's ruling in the worldly people, in the world, not our God. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan. He says, but the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil doesn't want the gospel to lighten people's lives. He wants to keep them in darkness. He wants to keep us in darkness. He wants to get those of us who have seen the light of the gospel of Christ. He wants to get us back into darkness as well. He wants everyone in darkness. This battle is raging. The devil will brainwash you. I don't know if you could call it brainwashing when he dirties your mind and clouds it up. But he wants to control it. And God wants to cleanse your mind of all of those impure thoughts and let you have a pure mind. But you're going to get the final vote. Your decision is going to be key. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Now, we know the difference between the heart that pumps blood and the heart that the Bible speaks of that is the mind, the heart of our being as well. These are different things. Sometimes somebody will say the heart and they point at the brain. Well, it's not really the brain itself, because the mind and the brain are two different things. When you die, your brain is going to stay in your body. But your mind, your consciousness, who you are, isn't going to die in that body. That part of you that's the mind, that's the soul, if you will, that's going to live on. We might think, in fact, of the mind and the brain as the difference in a computer and the programming that's on that computer. You know, they can make 1,000 computers that are exactly alike. But then they can put different programs on those different computers, and those computers will do entirely different things. They may put a program on one of those computers to catalog library books. They may put a program on another one of those computers to keep track of bank accounts. They may put a program on another of those computers for people to write books and novels. They may put programs on another one of those computers for people to work with graphics and make cartoons. And other types of art. You see, the computer itself was the same, but the programming that they put into it made the difference. And that's the way I like to think of our minds and our brain. Our brain is there. It functions. It has the parts that control memory and that control thought processes. But the mind is what controls what the brain thinks. It's the programming. So if our programming is bad, our mind is going to be corrupt. If we program our mind with all of the filth of this world, if we program our mind with all of the bad language and all of the bad habits of lying and cursing and cheating and stealing, and we program our brain with all of that, with that kind of a mind, why, it doesn't matter how good a brain we've got. And you know, we don't all have the same brain. Just like some computers are better than others. Some start to get old and they start to lose memory. Some of our brains start to do the same thing. Doesn't mean we don't still have a good mind, but it's just the computer part's not working right. The part of us that's going to live on is still, but it just can't function too well in that particular body at that point. So if we're going to affect our actions, and if we're going to affect our lives, We don't need to change our brains. We need to change our mind. There's a song that was out a few years ago. I guess it's still out, but it just came out a few years ago. And I don't know exactly what the writer of the song intended, but every time I hear it, I think about this kind of a thought. He says in the song, if you want to be somebody else, change your mind. And all of us have that opportunity. If we look in the mirror, or we examine our lives and think about our lives, and we think, you know, I just don't like such and such about my life. I don't like the way I act in this situation, or I don't like the way I say this particular thing, or I don't like whatever it might be about myself, then change your mind, because that's where it comes from. Jesus said that about our words. He said, for out of the heart the mouth speaks. You've got to change what you're thinking inside in order to make a change on the outside. And that's important. Sometimes it isn't easy, but it is something that can be done. The mind controls the brain, and the brain controls the actions. But let's look in the 2 Corinthians letter at some of these things that we need to do to our minds. And we'll move through these quickly. There are four things that we want to look at. Number one, a carnal mind can be converted. Isn't that good news? All of us were in a situation where we had a carnal mind. We thought worldly things. And if the Bible had just said, well, you know, Satan's blinded you and too bad. Well, we'd all be in bad shape. Because Satan blinded all of us at one point in our lives or another. But the good news is that that carnal mind can be converted. Notice what we saw there in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Well, he tells us then that if the light does shine on them, well, guess what? They're not going to be in darkness anymore. Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus himself said, those who walk in the daytime won't stumble. You walk when it's light, you can see where you're going. But if you walk in darkness, then you're going to stumble. But we need to understand that our carnal minds, and any portion of our mind that is still carnal, can be converted. It can be changed. The Bible speaks of the renewing of our minds. It doesn't have to stay that same old mind that we've always had. I remember, it's been several years ago, but we went on a mission trip to Canada. And I was talking with an elderly gentleman. He was a part of a denominational church and had been, I guess, his whole life, he said. And I said, well, it's not too late. He said, no, it's too late to change. I couldn't change even if I wanted to. That's not true. If you want to, you can change. God gives us that power. He gives us that ability to be able to change. Sometimes we just don't really want to. When we're saved by the blood of Christ, when we're converted, that term, converted, it means changed. Carnal mind must be changed. The word repent, it's used in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That word repent literally means to change your mind. That's one of the process steps in the process of salvation, is to change your mind. We have to change our mind. We have to change the way we think about what is sin. Oh, when we had that carnal mind, we just did whatever we felt like doing. If it feels good, do it. We didn't worry about whether it was right or wrong. We liked doing it, and you know, sometimes we might have a guilty twinge about it, knowing that, you know, we probably weren't supposed to be doing it, but we liked doing it, and so we kept on doing it. But if we're going to repent, we're going to have to change our mind about those things. We're going to have to decide in our mind that it is not good, and it's not worth doing anymore. Until we can do that, we're going to continue to have a carnal mind. We've got to change that mind. And this process is a part of the new birth and the renewing of the mind. You know, Satan constantly is trying to get us, though. Even if our carnal mind has been converted, we've got to realize that the converted mind may be corrupted. I spoke a moment ago about my virus protection program on my computer and how it does those updates every week or so. If I don't do those updates, if I don't add that new information in and keep it current, keep it prepared to defend against those bad viruses out there, what's going to happen? Well, eventually one of those viruses is going to get in and it's going to corrupt my computer. And by corrupt my computer, some of you know what I'm talking about. Carol knows what I'm talking about because her computer got corrupted. Rose knows what I'm talking about. Her computer got corrupted. And boy, it'll start doing things you don't want it to do. It'll start taking your computer, it'll start popping things up on your screen that you don't want to see on your screen. It'll put up advertisements for gambling, or it'll put up pornography, or that's the way those viruses work. They do bad things. So you need to keep that virus protection program current on that computer. Well, the mind works the same way. We may clear all the bad stuff out. We may convert the mind, get the carnal stuff out of there, but if we don't keep it up, if we don't continuously get updates from the Word of God, then what's going to happen is Satan's going to find a weak spot. And he's going to put one of his little viruses in there, and it's going to worm its way in, and it's going to start to corrupt the mind again. And before long, we'll be right back where we started, with a carnal mind. So we've got to be careful, because that converted mind may be corrupted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, Paul said, "Fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." But he warns us. He's afraid that the Corinthian Christians were going to be corrupted. That their minds that had seen the light were going to be darkened again. And he warns them about how that happens. The serpent who beguiled Eve through his subtlety. You see, the devil rarely comes out and says, "I'm the devil, bow down and worship me." He did that to Jesus, but he doesn't usually do that to us. He's usually more subtle than that. He's usually pretty sly about the way he gets into our minds. So much so that many times we don't recognize him. Satan planted the seed of doubt in his mind. The first thing he did was question what God said. Did God say it? Yes. Has God said that? That's the first thing. He questioned God. He planted the seeds of doubt. And then the second thing that he did was actually deny.
what God had said. Oh, you shall not surely die. But you're not going to die. No, surely not. That's not. I can't believe that. That can't be done. And then, of course, the third thing that he did was to deceive by just flat out lying about the results. He said, you'll be like God. You know what God knows. Now see, that wasn't true. It was true that they did knew the difference in right and wrong, like God knows. But they didn't know what God knows. They didn't become like God. No, far from it. They became like the devil instead. And so he used that pattern still to us. Remember that 2 Corinthians 11:3 was written to people who were saved. It was written to Christians. And he's afraid because he knows that unlike what some of the religious leaders say, someone who is saved can be lost. He knows that that mind that has been cleared of all that can be corrupted again. And the same thing is true. And we talked about the computer. You can clear all of the bad stuff out of the computer. But if you don't put the defenses in place to protect it, the bad stuff can get right back on you. And so Jesus can wash our sins away in baptism. He can cleanse our mind, give us a new mind. We can reconvert it. But if we don't, keep it protected. The devil will get in there and corrupt it. The first thing we have to see is then that if there is a situation of a corrupted mind, it may be conquered. There are situations where our mind has become corrupted. A virus of sorts has gotten in there and corrupted us. But that can be conquered. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not realize to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in our readiness to redeem all this obedience with in our obedience is fulfilled. And that's what he said. He said, we're going to throw these things down. We're going to throw these things down. We're going to tear these things down. And we're going to bring everything into captivity. Every thought. In other words, we're going to conquer the direction that Satan has put in our mind. But so many times we say,
Than we are, then he's going to win and we're going to lose. But then the conquered mind must be controlled. We've got to control every thought. Once we get those strongholds pulled down, once we cast down those evil imaginations, then we still got to control it. We've got to have control. The problem is that there are so many avenues into your mind. The devil can come in through the front door or the back door, or he can sneak down the chimney. He will find a way in. Have you ever seen in the movies with the spies, and they're trying to break into some place, and these people, you know, they've got guards everywhere. Except for one place. There's always one place that they forgot about. It may be the sewer system, and those spies or criminals or whoever, they sneak in through the sewer system to get in there. Or it may be through the air conditioning duct work, you know, and they'll crawl through those ducts and get in there and bust through one of those bricks and crawl out and enter inside. Well, the devil works the same way. He will look to see what you've left unguarded. And that's why every thought, not just most of our thoughts, not just half our thoughts, but every thought must be under captivity. Everyone must be controlled. Because a single wayward thought gives the devil an opportunity to slip in. That's hard work, isn't it? It's hard to be on your toes all the time about every thought. But isn't that how it works? Because you were careless about controlling your thoughts. Well, probably just about every time sin has entered your life. Because that's the way it works, isn't it? Sin begins with a thought. Don't know who said it, but it has been said, the thought is the father of the deed. And isn't that what Jesus said as well? And what the Proverbs writer said as well. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He said, whatever comes forth from the heart, that's the mouth speaks. That's where it comes from. It's the thoughts that we have to get control of. Emerson said, you show me the way you think, and I'll show you the way you act. If you can know how somebody's thinking, you can know how they'll act. And you know it as well as I do. You say, oh, that's not, you can't know that. You've watched movies, you've read books, you've seen TV shows. In those books or in those movies and shows, there's a character that has been developed. And you learn things about that character. You learn how that character thinks, and you learn how that character's acted in the past. So much so that sometimes you see a situation coming, and you know what that character is going to do.
You say, oh, well, that's fiction. That's just a show. That's just a book. That's make-believe. But then you think that that's the idea. But that's the idea because that's the way people work. We are predictable. Because the way we think controls the way we act. So once we conquered the mind, we must control the conquered territory. If not, we'll lose ground again to the devil. And people may say, I can't control all my thoughts. Jesus can. Jesus has given us the power. Jesus has given us the authority. If Jesus is in control of our lives, He has given us the strength. What did He say? With God, all things are possible. With man, it is impossible. Without Christ, no. You can't control everything you think. But with Christ, you can. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By my own strength? No. Never could. Wouldn't be able to control any of my thoughts, probably by myself. But with the strength that I gain through Jesus Christ, I can. We've got to understand that if we've got a carnal mind, it needs to be converted, and it can be converted. There is no mind so carnal that it can't be changed. That's the power of God, who can do all things. If the light of the gospel will shine in that life and shine on that mind so that they can see instead of being shattered back. But that converted mind can be corrupted if you're not careful. The corrupted mind, however, can be conquered. And it's not enough to dethrone Satan. We must dethrone Christ in our mind. The story is told, and I'm not sure that this would be said, but if I could think of one that's any better to describe the situation. The father gave his son a basket and said, son, I want you to go out to the wood chip pile and fill this basket full of wood chips. So the son was gone for a few minutes, came back, basket full of wood chips. The father said, okay, son, now, fill it up with eggs. The son said, the father said, dust the wood chips out, and then they fill it up with air. They dust the wood chips out, and they fill it up with air. Came back in, the father said, okay, now fill it up with wood chips. I said, fill it up. And the father explained to his son, your mind looks the same way. If you fill the mind with good things, there won't be room for the bad. But if you fill the mind with bad things, there won't be any room for the good. Now you've got to make up our mind. One way or the other. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. But cling to the one and despise the other. You've got to pick God or Satan. If you're going to stick Satan out, don't leave an empty hole for him to crawl right back into you. Fill it up. Put Jesus in his place. Jesus told about the man who had a demon, and the demon was cast out of him. But apparently the man didn't fill his life with anything good, and the demon went about in dry places, it says, that he found no other place to go, so he came back and he found him with his own hole, that slipped out, cleaned out, opened out, and right there waiting for him. So he went and got other spirits worse than himself and brought them in and inhabited that man. Neither thoughts, neither deeds, worse than them. Then they took one out of our lives so that we don't want them. It'll be back with some of its friends. You're here and you have an easy response to the invitation this morning. Whether it be an initial obedience, maybe you have a part of mind that needs to be converted. Convert that mind. Or perhaps you, as a Christian, converted your mind, cleaned the God, but it's become corrupted again. You too may need to respond to your invitation to conquer that corrupted mind. You hear and you have a need to respond. You have to do so as we serve and as we serve.